You just came back from the barn riding.
Literally, I was like, just riding my mare, breaking her in, you know?
And I am the ghost of a beautiful, sickly Victorian child. I feel like that's what I was channeling when I got dressed this morning. What were you channeling?
What were you channeling?
Man to man?
Yeah. No, you're more like a villain.
Literally, like St. Moritz. She like just got back from skiing. I'm going to the chalet for a quick facial.
I need a lift. An après ski.
It's called après.
Glow.
An après ski.
Neither of you après, okay?
Yeah,
no.
That's for Anne only.
Anne's the only one that does that here. No, welcome back to Art Smack. I'm your host, Jerry Gosian, and I'm here with Annie Taylor. And this week we have a special guest who's in town because of Chafe, Aff, and Freeze, I'm assuming.
Yes, visiting Connecticut Fairfield for the first time this Sunday. And my name is Tarka Russell. Very happy to be here today.
Emma, we're so glad to have you.
Thanks for schlepping all the way out here with me this morning. We took the 902 Metro North out to Fairfield.
Join anytime.
Yeah. or don't. Actually, no. Please don't.
How was your train ride? It's quite nice, but it is not picturesque.
It's not like the Bright Line.
No, it's not like the Bright Line. We love the Bright Line between Miami and Long Beach. But she did remark that the bathrooms are much cleaner than those in the UK. So I thought that was a win for us in America. You know, we haven't had a lot of wins lately. So.
Do you know there's bathrooms and subway stations in New York?
I actually saw they just reopened like 70 of them. You could not pay me money to pee in a subway bathroom.
Don't want to get stabbed.
Honestly, pants first.
So when you see someone peeing themselves on the subway, it's not an unhoused person. It's just Jerry unable to make it back to a bathroom.
Wait, did you guys see this thing that was in the news literally this week? Some designer came out with some jeans where it looked like you peed yourself.
Yes, I saw that.
And they all sold out.
No, I'm
that
sorry.
That is Who's so weird. That?
I don't know what – it sounds very Balenciaga to do, but I don't think it was Balenciaga.
Or like Skims with the nipple bra.
Very Gen Z.
Yeah, very Gen Z.
Not my gen.
I don't see us millennials rocking that.
I'm like, that's why I got sober, ladies and gentlemen.
I've been there.
Don't want to go back there.
No, I remember in San Francisco, actually, in the Mission, when I lived there, there was one of my favorite pieces of street art. Was one day somebody had written, and it was so funny because it was like one of those beautiful Victorian, lovely painted homes. And then they had like a little fence. Mm-hmm. And somebody spray painted, "My pants is my bathroom." And it was just like,
that's amazing.
So it was like so much disrespect to this beautiful home. I think I like toilet humor only in street art because I think my second favorite piece of street art that I ever saw was like, again, in beautiful, pristine Copenhagen, mm-hmm. pristine, gorgeous, like everyone knows, famous for how beautiful it is. Somebody got up on a ladder and massively painted, "I shit on shit."
Street art.
Spoiler alert, it was Jerry.
But like, at first I read it and I was like, rude. And then I was like, that's funny.
Wait, I like that. Yeah. Okay, you're an idiot.
And on that high-end note, how did we find Chafe, Aff, ladies?
Well, nothing but love. I know, honestly, I'm like, I just started sweating from excitement.
Can we just comment on the amount of people that were there? On the opening day?
The wrongs. And everyone was happy. It wasn't just, you know,
it was
goers.
Vibes.
Yeah.
Friend.
Vibey, too. Yeah.
And people, it seemed to be the right people.
Mm-hmm. The 65 plus crowd. We all want to be desperately.
Mm-hmm.
And
plus their fashion.
Plus their fashion, literally. Everyone from like the oyster shuckers to the security guards were having a good time.
We like made best friends with Maria, yeah. the security
we
guard.
Love Maria,
there.
The security guard.
The other guy that was like wearing his aviators indoor with his arms crossed. Yeah. He like walked by him and whispered, like, "You terrify me." Yeah. And he was like, "I'm doing
good.
My job."
Yeah.
So hot.
But it was like so much fun. And you know what? Actually, so like obviously commenters were commenting. because we're like trying to help freeze, like what's off with the vibes.
Yeah.
So obviously fresh cut flowers changes everything.
Peonies. I mean, exceptionally beautiful.
Moody lighting.
Yeah.
Changes everything.
And makes the art look better.
And we look better too. So win.
But
note freeze. Yeah.
But the other thing, something that I would have never picked up on that somebody said, it was a commenter who had flown all the way from Taipei just to go to TAFAF. He goes, you know what it was? The carpet.
Yes.
The carpet. Plush carpet, like clean, plush, like a light lavender. Yeah. And then you go into different booths.
Mm-hmm. And they all have their custom carpets, like how we got ushered out of Gagosian for deigning to bring coffee onto their white carpet.
We were asked to leave.
With their white Twombly. Exactly. Anyway, so we got ushered out of there by an adorable little Ernest gallerina.
Yeah.
So that was
She looked
fun.
So afraid. Yes. She was like, I'm so sorry.
You can't come in here with a beverage.
And we were like, it's okay. We've seen this before.
Yes. They had 7,000 RSVPs on that opening day.
No way.
Yeah. And it felt like
almost every single person came.
And good people and like the relevant people. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it really gave me real, hope and strength back in New York. And it's like
after kind of a disappointing prior week, it was really,
Also, the carpets absorbed a lot of the noise.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And by relevant people, you mean Leonardo DiCaprio, right?
I missed him.
And Woody Allen.
We didn't see Leo because we're over 25 and he hides from women over 25. So obviously.
He was like, put those women in wheelchairs.
Literally.
Like, get them away from
you. Ship them out. Literally to an old age home. Goodbye.
I want the interns.
Yeah. He's like, but a painting over 25. Now,
yum.
No, but it was fun. And you know what I like about, the problem that I have with ultra contemporary art sales is that what an art dealer is doing in real time is they are trying to, in real time, mythologize someone and their art practice who is still living. And there's something very try hard and pick me about that because then they have to go to all these cheap shots like they had such a horrible life and they come from this terrible thing and they've been suffered this abuse and then they throw on the art speak because they need to add that onto the fire.
MFA.
They need to add all this stuff to build a fire to make something good. Whereas what I love about TAFAF is like you can walk up, like this literally happened to us in Hugo's booth. We walk in and because we had booth before, we had literally found Annie painted into an Alex Katz.
Oh, yes. I saw
my twin, Stephanie.
Seymour.
Yeah, we were like, what the fuck? So I was like, I want to find me now. So we find like this bearded, chubby, like British man portrait. And I was trying to like pose next to it to see if I could sort of like glean some interconnectivity.
Spiritually alignment.
Yeah. And Hugo walks over, before we knew anything. And he was like, oh, I'm so glad you're interested in that painting. He's like, little known fact, that man died on stage. He was a very famous British actor.
No way.
On stage 3 days after this was painted. Mm-hmm.
Who was the artist, we know?
Freud.
Oh, it was Freud. Yeah.
But like, that, like, sell me without selling me. Like, I'm like, take my money. Like, what? Are you serious? Like, and obviously, like, it's amazing to see things that feel like they should be unsellable, like Egyptian artifacts.
Yeah.
Greco-Roman.
Oh, that was my lovely friend, James. He had that booth, and he just drew an Anubis in the camera, but he had a ancient Greek makeup palette.
No way.
That you would crash.
That's so cool.
And it was actually really cheap. It was only $900.
What?
Yes.
We could buy that.
I know.
That is the one people say about TAFAF. If you do, I commented like afterwards, like I left TAFAF in wonder today, filled with both hope and despair. And I was like, and the despair comes from the fact that I can't afford anything.
But you could buy the makeup palette.
I know.
The makeup palette. The ancient Greek.
Yeah. Why didn't I inquire?
And I know. What, they, it was so small, you might have missed it.
Also, like, would it sit with my collection?
Yes, it really would, because they kind of had just like these little miniature ancient Greek heads as well.
Yes.
Perfect. Very beautiful.
Yeah. That is Matt's dream. Like, for...
Tone
one. He wants a
I will advise on that.
He wants a bust, like a Nefertiti
like not
bust.
For this house.
Okay. Of
like,
him.
No. No, we already have a nude painting
would,
of him upstairs.
I would pay to have a bust made of Matt for his next birthday.
An AI one.
Yeah. No, but I hate like when you see modern sculptures and they're always smiling. It's very creepy. It can't be smiling. You have to be serious. Mm-hmm. But anyways, apparently you can get them. I'm like Christie's or whatever. You can go and bid on them for like $5,000 to $15,000. Like they are achievable in this lifetime.
They are not achievable.
They're not like out of this realm.
Yeah.
And I got a little bullish at Freeze Masters because I saw this incredible one. I was it was like so good.
It looks so good next to my husband's bed.
Yeah. In Fairfield, Connecticut. Yeah. I like very nonchalantly like asked the price because I thought maybe it was in that range, but for some reason this particular antiquity was
quite hefty,
300x that or whatever. Yeah. So if she said the price to me, I was like, I don't like it that much. It's kind of garish.
You're like, how will I get it back to Connecticut?
I'm way too demure to have this.
I would never. But no, TAFAP is so much fun. Mm-hmm. It is like the best art fair in New York.
It's beautiful. And I also love the Park Avenue Armory. It's so well located.
I know. It's so historical. And it's nice that all the collectors just saunter in. No one even taking a cab. Everyone's walking from their beautiful Park Avenue apartment.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I love Boris and Axel Verwoerd.
I love Boris. Charming man. Beautiful booth.
I don't know who that is, but I also love the endless Diet Cokes that you can get for free.
Mm-hmm. I missed that.
First of all, they're not for free. They're only for free to pretty people. that I tested twice because I got 3 Diet Cokes, one of which were for you. 2 of them I got for free. One I had to pay for.
Oh. They were discriminating.
They were
with a Diet Coke.
Literally.
So wait, does that mean, I don't know. Were they giving out the free Ruin Art? Because that used to be a thing.
No, I give out. They stopped free champagne. They had free oysters from what I understood, but also we were not there for the liquor.
I have a funny story about that.
Or the oysters.
The oysters are free.
The oysters are free.
So last year... Who's that, like, really famous? You would know this. Emily Blunt. Emily Blunt, she's married to John Krasinski.
Yeah.
I was at TAFAF, and the Ruin Art cart comes around. They are, like, I would say doing pretty well financially. Like,
yeah, I think so.
Venturing to guess that they're fine. But you never
eat. Maybe not after this conversation.
So Emily goes up to the, to the card and orders a glass of the sparkling rosé. And they don't do, like, the big, like, alcoholic pour. They do the 4-ounce pour, like, just,
the
elegant little upper, And it was $58. And John Krasinski goes, whoa, like, that to her hand. And then they got into like a, it wasn't like a vicious one, but like it was marital definitely spat. Like a marital spat where she was like, I'm having that. And all I could hear him say is, that is ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
Celebrities, they're just like us.
They think Ruin Art is too expensive too. That is expensive.
That is expensive for one glass. I'm sorry,
Yeah.
I mean, even Emily Blunt is coming back, so.
In better times, it was free.
It was free in better times.
Yeah.
Well, it also, the free kind of also brought in the riffraff. Like, it would bring in the people who just wanted to come and get smashed. For free champagne. Yeah.
That was me.
The riffraff. God forbid that was Jerry. No, never.
That was me.
All Alcoholics Anonymous. Conducting yourself with poise. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I have a funny story. It doesn't involve alcohol, but when I was young, when I was like 3, so my mom decided for me I was an artist. I had decided when I was 3 that I was an actress and a princess. And she was like, no, you are an artist.
Lame mother.
You mean work? To work in this life? And so my mom on the weekends used to take us to like art fairs and like art festivals. Not like Art Basel. This didn't exist. We're talking about like, you know, like local like art swaps and art meetups and whatnot. And so my mom brings my brother, Eric, and I. Eric's in 2 episodes of this. And we are very close in age. We're 13 months apart to the day.
Oh, wow.
Which means I know how to fist fight. And so anyway, we get into like a shoving match in a sculpture booth.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if Eric pushed me or if I pushed Eric, but we crashed into a marble sculpture and they made my parents buy it.
Get out. How much?
I don't know. This was the 80s. Times are different. I don't know. Uh-oh. All I know is received corporal punishment for that. And as a reminder to like never like fuck up that bad in public again, my mother like, you know, like how the Japanese like will take pottery and like put it back together with mm-hmm. like silver with gold. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, beautiful.
She like put it back together and then prominently displayed it. And then anytime Eric and I were being really bad, she would point to the fish. And we were like, okay.
Honestly terrifying.
It was a fish.
I would have made that too. Yes, mother.
Yeah, it was a sculpture of a fish. So like we weren't at like art balls. We were at like an art meetup. But it was marble and it was not cheap.
No, it would have like smashed.
And there's no like insurance against 3 and 4 year olds, which is why I am always shocked when I see people bring little kids mm-hmm. and their dogs. And
I saw a lot of dogs.
Sorry,
yeah, strollers are inconvenient.
And coat check. Yeah.
And with your child, too.
We're going to get a lot of hate mail from mothers.
That was a joke.
Happy Mother's Day.
And happy Mother's Day to you.
It is Mother's Day, actually. Why don't we go around and say one positive thing about our mothers that helped us inspire to get us to where we are today with our love of art, our relationship to art, etc.
Oh, Hilly, that's a beautiful thing.
That is a beautiful thing. My mother doesn't really collect art. She's a finance gal, but she is incredibly intelligent and taught me to work very hard. So thank you, Monica, dearest.
She also, with that hard-earned finance money, opened a foundation that is now dedicated to supporting artists.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's a good one. Yeah. She's like, forgot that.
Well, that's the direction I'm taking it, right? Originally, it was for underprivileged youths and animals.
Which can all be artists.
Underprivileged youths and are also artists.
And what about you?
My mother is got exceptional taste, like amazing taste. And so she was a very prominent figure in my life, obviously, even though I did go to boarding school at 10, Mom. But she basically had this shop. I'm Irish. I grew up in Kent, but she had the most amazing interior shop. Wow. And she used to import everything, like diptyque candles and like all the like cool new things. And now are like really hip and cool. But she was like, you know, had it like 20
trendsetter.
Years. Trendsetter.
Cool.
Wow.
And her sister, they're big interior designers and they do projects all over the world. And that is kind of where I got my love of design and passion for art and putting things together and making a sort of story.
That's
and
so
I guess, and then I took that and I followed the curating because they did once ask me to join them and I said, no. So,
and Hilsey, you have to share what your mama taught you.
I mean, first of all, like I always say chicken or the egg, because when you're 3 and you're young and impressionable, if somebody is telling you, like, you are an artist, then, like,
you're an artist.
You start, like, seeing the world only through that lens. Like,
of course.
You're, like, very impressionable. Don't take this the wrong way, Mom. Just like you were like, I got sent away to boarding school at 10, Mom. We were very unsupervised when I was a child, which I think makes for great artist children.
Relatable.
So I have like one of my favorite memories of my life that like when I die and I get to do the review, I can't wait to go to this one section, which was when I lived in Russia when I was a child. There's a park outside of Yekaterinburg where I lived called Mayakovskaya Park. It was a very run down like amusement park in the middle of a forest. And my mother wasn't there and my dad was working all the time. And we had this nanny that barely spoke the language we spoke and vice versa, though I was learning Russian pretty quickly at the time. I could just like go to my dad and because of the dollar to ruble rate, I could be like, Dad, give me 25,000 rubles today, which was like, I think at the time it was like 5,000 rubles to $1. So I was asking for $5, but that was like big money.
Yeah.
So we took the tram to Mayakovskaya Park and I brought my white Persian cat because that's my favorite animal. I brought my white Persian cat to this park and then I bargained with the Romani children who had these horses that were dressed like circus horses with like feathers and colorful saddles or whatever. And I was like, I bargained with them. Like, can I borrow your horse for like 3 hours? And so I had my white Persian cat on my shoulder and Eric was with me. He got a horse and he had his blue Russian on his shoulder. And we like went riding through the woods, had a picnic,
aww,
and got a little lost and then like got to come back. And like, that was kind of a performance art piece, but not like, you know what I mean? But it was like iconic because like no parent, especially the ones that I hear about in 2024, would let like any of the steps of these things happen.
God forbid you go off by yourself.
Or you take your pet outside of the home or you're negotiating with people outside of your socioeconomic class. I kind of feel like some of the not being super paid attention to, you know, led me to be an incredible play director as a child, led me to perform several marriages. Eric married every single one of my friends.
Eric.
And very like
Eric and his nine wives.
Yeah. In like a very dramatic fashion. I was always the priest.
The high priestess. Yeah. Of course.
We used to build like sets for our cats and then amazing. Take like doilies and dress them.
Oh my God. Your poor animals, honestly.
And then like pose them and like take Polaroids with them. But like, it was great, you know, and I do think like, and also I guess when I was, I have a lot to say, when I was 20, when I decided like, I'm gonna do something with my life besides be a bartender at Hooters and go study art in Norway, my mom was like, yeah, go. And I mean, like moving to a Nordic country, I knew no one, I had no money, like I feel like a normal person would be like, that's not like financial, like that's the most expensive country in Europe. Like that's probably not advisable. You don't know anyone. Mm-hmm. Like you could die of cold, like literally there, like
on the street.
But yeah, but my parents were like, if you want to do that, bye.
That's what I loved about my childhood. My parents said, oh, you guys could do anything you want to. Anything you want to.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. I wonder like, where, because creativity is like magical.
It's totally magical. It
will break out. Mm-hmm. But I wonder for kids that are kids now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have mixed feelings about social media and whether we merit that as creativity only because I'm a strong believer that boredom is the greatest catalyst for creativity. It's boredom totally. Or necessity. One of the two.
Or like
and if you're constantly like streaming. Mm-hmm.
Or scrolling.
Yeah. You're never going to get bored.
No, you always have a dopamine hit.
Yeah. So I wonder what happens then in this world, in this universe, if...
Do you think we're going to have a generation of like zero creativity? Like, I guess we can tell by the art that's coming out.
No, I have faith in this next generation. There are those who like reject social media. There's a whole group of people in Brooklyn that have like gone back to flip phones, which I love. So I'm not like totally lost on Gen.
And a lot of them have gotten sober and they don't drink.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then they just don't have 10 years of regret to make art about. I mean,
to work through it.
They just have the pandemic to process. So yeah. I think that's
enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess Mother's Day, thank you for the neglect. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for enabling me in all of the right ways. I mean, she was very good. Also, we had a friend. Her name was Delva Duarte. She was a
gorgeous name.
Yeah, she's an artist from Brazil. She was engaged to Jimmy Buffett.
No way.
Yeah. And she was best friends with my mom. And I used to go to her studio when I was like 3 and 4. And I was like, oh, I get this. Like, I see what
rock star husband.
I see what this is all about. Me. Yeah. Me. Anyway, but you did go to Freeze as well.
I did go to Freeze as well. And I went to Independent.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What's your take on sales right now?
I've really never been busier, which is great, of course. And
of course,
all this, like, everyone freaking out about the art market. And I mean, just for today, I feel like everything's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't tell the future, sadly. But
Do you have people buying at Freeze and buying at the Independent?
I had people buying at Freeze, buying at auction this week coming up. I think the bigger deals are taking longer than they used to. Mm-hmm. It's just like getting all the moving parts and ducks in a row and getting it more teed up. And it's taking a little bit longer, like, a couple of months instead of a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But you know what? People aren't in the rush that I feel that they used to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the slowdown is actually good for the growth of the artist market overall, instead of this like noise. But I'm doing completely across the board, old masters. I'm looking a lot at impressionism and post-impressionism, surrealism, and, ABAC, like completely across the board. I love historic works. I love history. As you said about TFAF, like I love the mixture of very old and then ultra contemporary. And I think that's a sign of a good contemporary artist is when they can hold the wall with the historic greats.
Yeah, we really liked, whose booth was that?
Blum's. Blum's looked fantastic.
Like portraitures.
Yeah. I liked the overhang of it.
Yeah, it was really fun.
It was very like salon.
And the bright red wall was very like eye-catching. The minute you walked in, you were drawn there.
Totally.
I hope they can like keep that to be like a sweet little fun cherry.
Mm-hmm.
But I still want my asteroids. I still want my weird rock collection. I love
the rock collection. Yeah.
I still want like the Freuds and the
Lulan. Now, the whole fair is not going to move that direction, but it is nice to have a little tidbit.
I would feel sorry if I was a gallery on the upstairs because, gotta say, I didn't go up there.
I always thought that was like the prestigious place to be.
Is that
in the historical rooms? Yeah, I'm like, look at the quality of gallery up there. Like, Karma's up there, Axel Weierwart's up there.
Well, I saw I went to go see Axel.
Oh, no, Kasman's. Yeah, Kasman's up there too.
Kasman's up there.
Yeah.
I just thought that it was so busy on the opening day, and obviously I have every intention of going back to everything, and then the reality is that sometimes I never do.
Yeah.
So I was meant to go back yesterday to go and see everything again, but I got sucked in by the auctions.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to do in New York at the moment.
And there's just so much to see there. Like, we spent 6 hours
walking. We were there all day.
All day.
Then we tried to go to Independent, which I'm going to be honest with you, my social and mental battery was on like
minus
7%.
Yeah. It's like a dying iPhone.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, oh, there's not enough coffee in this world. Like, there's nothing to give anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we went, and we had been a little pre-warned by some friends who we trust in terms of, like, taste that it was a bit on the flat side this year. I would agree that it was, but also I'm not sure I can trust that because I was on a 7%.
Battery. So
I really enjoyed Independent. I'm very close with the ICA Miami Contemporary Art Museum there, and Alex Gartenfeld and Courtney, who run the museum, and they set up the best tour for the patrons and the board members.
So okay, well, invite me to that next time.
Yes, Alex, note for next year. And it was really fun. We all we met for lunch and then we went around with Elizabeth D, who set it up. Cool. And she's amazing. Yeah. She's so genuine. She really puts the effort in. Mm-hmm. She hands picks all the galleries to expose there. Mm-hmm. So Alfie, I've known since he was a child. Sorry, Alfie, I'm going to embarrass you now. So Alfie
used to shit his pants constantly.
The pee pants we were talking about earlier.
No.
So Alfie's mom and my mom are best friends from childhood.
Wow.
So I've known Alfie since he was a kid, and he's an amazing painter, and he's such a gorgeous human. And wow. I've supported his career from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I sold it to major collectors. And wow. He, you know, it's very hard in the art world to trust people, I mm-hmm. think. And I think that, you know, but he's doing so well. And I think
Isn't it nice when you see the good ones winning too?
Totally.
Because I know so many poo-poos in the art world mm-hmm. who are just and sometimes I just hear that they get a win after a win after a win, and I'm am I crazy? Because I can smell a rat. This is not good.
Yeah. Karma.
And then are you talking about the gallery?
No, I'm kidding.
But then you have these friends that are an artist mm-hmm. or somebody who just works in the art industry, period, where you're I am so genuinely happy to see you doing well.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
I'm so happy.
It gives you hope in mm-hmm. life. I remember a touching moment from when I had a gallery, which seems a million years ago now. I was working with an artist. And I was just a baby gallerist. So it's not I was doing crazy mega deals, but I was really good at selling this one artist's art because I felt so passionate about mm-hmm. it. And she's as good of a person as she is a painter. And so that made the sell easier. And I remember that she wrote to me after a show and she thanked me and she said, you know, because of the show and what you were able to do to sell it, she's like, I now can drive my children to school instead of walk them to school in the snow.
That feels genuine and nice.
Yeah. And not only gold star for me, I felt it, but I was I am so happy for you. I can't wait until you're now my driver and my phantom.
My Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
The shop.
But it just feels so good when you see the good ones winning too.
100%. And the other one who I've supported and loved a long time.
We saw
this kind of Shannon Cartier-Lucy.
Squid Games though, right? The Eucharist. But do you remember in Squid Games how you had to poke out the star? Anyway.
Yeah,
really talented.
She's very loved. She's very popular. Right
and now. Then I loved my friend Sarah Gavlak from Palm Beach.
We sat talking.
Oh yeah, she's the nicest, and her husband Barry is the nicest.
Oh my God, they're amazing. And you know what? She got best booze at Freeze.
Have you ever been to her gallery in Palm Beach?
Yeah, she showed them my friend Eric Firestone. Oh my God, they're two great people in the art mm-hmm. world. They're like fun characters. Yeah. They're like mm-hmm. a pleasure to like go for dinner with, go to business so with.
Gorgeous.
They just want the best for you. Mm-hmm. You're like, and they're genuine. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she got standout presentation.
Good
Andrew
for her.
Brischler at Gavlak. And it's a beautiful.
Okay, yes.
Yes. And actually, yes. She worked with Sarah worked with Marilyn Minter. And Andrew was Marilyn's studio assistant. And isn't that so nice that it's like the full circle and the continuation and the, you know, that we're all in it to help each other out at the end of the day. And mm-hmm. that's the art economy, and that's what it should be about.
And Danny Cancino at Charlie James Gallery.
Oh, we loved.
I saw that.
So amazing. Like,
look at the detail and the
nails
and this piece. It's kind of cut off. It was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just really spectacular. So no, there was good.
I'm sorry, we were just really low energy. I was just like it's low.
And art overload.
Yeah,
and art overload. And actually, we met a really nice guy. I think his name was Matt. He was running the bookshop at the Independent, and I started to tell him about my. I have like a very interesting little anecdote of an experience I had with Ann Craven, where I like helped out with an art show of hers. And through the span of like the time we worked together, she was like, I've never said this to anyone before, and it's really weird, but you are exactly what my mother was like when my mom was young. And I was like super honored by that. And the next day she shows up and she gives me all of her, a bunch of her mom's old clothes.
No way.
And they fit me like perfectly. Like they were like made for me. I kept them for years. Like I finally had to get rid of like the main outfit. It was like this magenta bodysuit because it like just, it was from the 70s and like shredded.
So cool.
But it was like so cool. And I, you know, obviously like I can't afford to buy her paintings now, but, I told him the story because they had the Ann Craven book. Mm-hmm. And Matthew was like, can I give it to you? Can I give you the book? And
he gave me the book. I saw the book on the coffee table.
Yeah.
No, that's really meaningful.
Yeah.
Karma, they always invite me to everything and they're so
Have you gotten to meet Chloe Sevigny?
No.
Because, you know, she's her baby daddy is Sunisa, I think.
No way.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Hello.
I don't know anything.
Oh my God. I'm like,
she loved dialed in.
If I could cast the movie.
That's a great
of the Jerry
one.
Life.
To play like me now.
Yeah.
Chloe,
please,
baby.
Let it be Chloe Sevigny. Yeah. Like her or Kirsten Dunst. Like those
Kirsten Dunst. Yes,
that's a great one.
Kirsten Dunst is. You know what's so weird? Everyone in my family and even Matt now, like we watch her movies and we're like, we are all convinced we're somehow genetically related to her. Because you probably can't see it right now looking at me.
Please don't look at me right now.
She like looks like my aunt. It's fucking weird. Like it is so, so weird. We're like, I somehow must be related.
The Nordic Irish
yeah.
roots.
Yeah.
Beautiful blondes.
But anyways, no, I'm like, okay, Karma's cool. And I do like, obviously, some of the artists that they show. But I want to see Chloe Sevigny at one of the openings.
Oh, or as playing Jerry.
Or playing Jerry.
Ideally.
Wait, who would play you in the movie of your life?
Oh, Sienna Miller.
I swear on my life, I was going to say that. Wait, were you going to say that Joe? Like
I've been getting it all week. Everything, you look so good. You look just like Sienna Miller.
I
look like Tarka.
But I'm Tarka. Christina Van Zandt over that. No, 100%. Fuck you.
Who? Oh my God, I have no idea who would play me.
You know what the problem is? Is she's already so gorgeous.
So gorgeous.
Okay,
I do know.
Julia Roberts.
Younger Heidi Klum.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. 100% Heidi Klum.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Or even older Heidi Klum. She's gorgeous.
She's still more gorgeous than all three of us combined. Okay.
She's gorgeous.
I know. It's sickening.
Gorgeous.
I see Heidi Klum.
I would also go for Margot Robbie, who loves art.
Don't flatter me. I'll start.
She does love art. I know her art advisor.
Does she love art?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her husband.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cute husband.
Yeah.
I used to party with them.
Really?
Back in the day. They used to live in London, in Clapham, and were like shared with friends. Like they're cool. They're like super down to earth.
I know.
This is but just before Wolf of Wall Street.
I know that Margot is down to earth because
she's lovely.
A friend of mine has produced like 5 of the movies that she's in, and they are actually like besties. When we were getting to know each other, he like told me like casually, you know, like Margot Robbie is my best friend. And I was like dying. And I was like, I got to meet her.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy. And he was like, honestly, Hildy, if you want to meet her, cool. Like we'll figure out a way. But she's just a normal person.
So normal and so down to earth. She goes to my hairdresser in London. Yeah, she's fab. So
wow. Cool. You know who else I've heard is like pathologically normal?
Who?
Scarlett Johansson.
No way.
Gorgeous
that's
as well.
Very you could surprising. Be a bit Scarlett. You're a bit more tan than Scarlett Johansson. No. I'm
quite tan right now. Thank you, Charleston. And my tanning towels. Thank you.
We have a story about
no,
that.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
The story is there was no story.
We're going to get to that in a second. But yeah, apparently Scarlett Johansson is down to earth, which is cool because yeah. I wouldn't be down to earth if I was Scarlett Johansson. No. If I were any of these women, I would not be down to earth.
No. But no. I think it's nice when you are. They're just normal people.
Right? No, it's so refreshing.
That's what he said to me.
They're just normal people.
He was like, she's just a normal person. He's like, you can meet her, but she's just a normal person. And then I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. I won't be a psycho. Tanning towel story. This is not an art-heavy episode. Sorry, listeners. So
we're getting back to it.
Freeze LA. So yeah. We're getting back to it. Freeze LA was a big moment for me this year because the announcement came that UTAs are presenting me. I was super excited. Annie Kate had to come anyway for like her job, so we bunked up. Annie has like the best taste in clothes out of any of my friends, so I was like, please style me. She like styled me the whole week. It was really nice, but she did do one fuck up.
No, I will take 40% of the blame for this.
She was like, rub this stuff all over your body. It will give you a tan. And then here are these special things that you're going to drops. You're going to put on your face and you are going to look like, you know, and I had just actually come back from vacation. So I was a little tan. She's like, you're going to just look that like perfect sun-kissed look. Like it's going to be so great for you. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm so ashamed.
Okay. Under the lighting of Freeze.
But no other lighting.
I looked like an Oompa fucking Loompa. And people were like staring at me.
They maybe were in a good way. You because you looked gorgeous. It was
and stylish.
And stylish.
I'm going to show you a picture when we're done.
Okay. In my defense, it doesn't work on me the way it works on her.
Because you're Italian and I'm Norwegian.
It's like me being Irish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She looked wrong. She looked like she'd been outside for a few hours.
On a planet where you turn orange
Mars.
When you're outside. There's a picture. Okay, so anybody that knows me knows that I have been claiming this for years. My spirit animal is Dad McLeod. From Gagosian. I think.
Oh, adore Deb. I've known Deb forever.
I idolize her. I think she's so iconic. I think she's so beautiful. I love the way she's
also funny.
She is like creme de la creme of senior director. Like, I love her. So any chance I get, like, I actually fangirl over her. And I wanted to get a selfie with her at Freeze. And so it's a picture of me and Deb. And I am completely orange. And Deb is just like looking nice in her
glowy,
beautiful self, probably wearing like a Laia and like a comfy pair of like Gucci, whatever. I'm in a gorgeous dress that Annie styled me in. My hair's looking great, but I am orange.
She looked great. No one thought you were orange except you and maybe Amber.
And Deb. Because come on, I did work in the Gagosian Gallery. I know the cues. I know the subtle eye cues. She did look at me with the anyway. So thanks for the humiliation, Annie Taylor.
I actually did it on purpose to sabotage her.
I have worked on many Freeze booths, and I promise you the lighting is unbearable.
They all look bearable. Yellow or green or
what is it? Like, it doesn't make the art look any better either.
No.
Was it like Castelli or who was it that just decided that all art, we need to remove all context so that it can just exist on its own for you to really be able to look at it? Is that kind of like a Leo Castelli hangover that we have, like art historically? Because there used to be like the Frick collection or whatever.
Yeah. It's
like you are the Salon model in France. Like,
well, for me, it was very much actually more about like the era of the hedge fund, like in the early 2000s. I felt like that was when it all kind of like went bigger, better, extra,
yeah,
private museum, private foundation. Artists make big, big, big paintings.
And that's when the lighting changed? Is that what you're saying?
Is that the, when the lighting changed?
Is that when the lighting got worse? I feel
like that's
worse?
When it got like worse and it just became like a white cube.
Yeah. I had the displeasure once of going to a car expo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Wow. Like in LA, I don't know. Okay. It was like some weird date that I'm a curious person. I'll give
had a really good time off.
I'll give everything, like, not everything, but many things a shot. And went to this car expo. And all I could think the whole time was, like, there really is no difference between this and, like, Fries or Art Basel.
No.
Like, take the car out and put a painting.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah. Same exact thing.
Totally agree.
And people with same amount of money. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. They're expo shows. That's really what they are.
Mm-hmm. I'll never forget doing an art fair in Madrid. And they have this whole entire convention center. And I think it's called, Arco. So it's Arco Art Fair. And it's next door to a air conditioning fair. Swear to God.
That was like a Zona Maco
a swimming next pool.
To a finance convention.
Yeah.
Like I was like,
but actually,
what?
That's probably smart.
No, it was like art, like everything that we see, Alex Katt, Christina Bamba, whatever. So it was like all the art, literally in the next marquee over was air conditioning units. And then the next key one over from that was swimming pools and like swimming pool bits.
Hey, what's an expo that's not art that you'd be very curious to go to? Could I be a sugar baby and what would the price be?
Like a yacht. Yachts.
Oh,
she said that a little too
Palm
fast.
Palm Beach boat show, baby.
Did they have a private jet one?
Oh my God, I would love to go to that.
Just take too. Off and land. Yeah. Take off and land.
Look at try all of those
interiors.
Oh, yeah.
What about you?
I am again. It's out of curiosity because actually I don't think legally I'm allowed to own a gun. I would love to go to a gun expo because I want to see what it's about
and what type of people
and the type
go
of person yeah that's there
yeah and like I want to hear the pitch, like, you're selling a weapon of mass destruction, sell me on that. I'm a housewife.
This will kill 10 people instead of two.
Yeah,
like, and how lax the background check is too. How we should experiment. How quickly can we walk into a gun expo and walk out with an AR-15?
Faster than you can get like primary
literally
access to like something from Hauser and Wirth.
I'm sure.
Which is crazy. But I'm curious. Like I would go and check out like a gun expo just to see. Just
right.
Like
quick trip to the South.
Come visit me in Miami.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do have one in Miami.
Oh, you should go next year.
Yeah, I remember because every year, like, what is the advertising for that?
I bet I'm going to start getting Instagram sponsored posts of gun fairs.
20% sale. Get it yours today. Scare your neighbors and your mom.
You're moving to Miami.
You might need it. No, okay. So a gun expo. One thing I've always wanted to go to, it's not an expo, but I don't know how I would make it pleasant for me as a sober person, very interested in the Festival of Juggalos.
What is that?
Juggalos.
Oh, like what's a juggalo? Like
someone who juggles.
No. You guys don't know what the Festival of Juggalos is?
No. Oh, have I been under a rock all my
Open
life?
Your phone no, so I can.
This is something weird.
No,
this
it's not.
This is not for mass consumption.
Okay, for anybody. No, it's not. For anybody that doesn't know what it is, go on YouTube right now and you can watch a really great documentary called American Juggalo.
Oh my God! There, it's a band or something.
No, it started from Insane Clown Posse. But wait, so the Gathering of Juggalos is an annual music festival put on by Psychopathic Records, featuring performances by the entire label roster. Blah blah blah. Okay, but But there's like a crazy culture around it, because the whole thing about being a juggalo is that you feel like you've been rejected by society.
Okay.
And that is, and so everybody that goes, they feel like they're family.
Okay.
Oh, and so
community.
The Gather Benaglows spans 5 days, includes concerts, wrestling games, contests, autograph sessions, karaoke, and seminars with artists.
Perfect. Let's go. Where
artists? Wait, but
artists.
Like, but
I face paint is amazing.
Wait, no, they literally use spray paint on their face.
What? That's not going near my
face. In addition to musical concerts.
Tarka's not invited because she won't spray paint her face.
The Gathering of multiple activities, carnival rides, midway rides, helicopter rides, juggalo karaoke, wet t-shirt contest, Miss Juggalo.
For you.
I win that. People walk around naked.
Oh my God.
If you've ever been curious to see a naked pregnant woman with her face spray painted smoking a cigarette.
Go to the Juggalo Festival.
You think I'm joking, but I'm not.
Is this the new Burning Man?
No, it's been around for a long time. This is a real thing. I can't believe you think I'm making this up.
No, it's founded by Jump Steady Insane Clown Posse.
There was an Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode about this. Something, a kid was like wearing it to school, and Charlie the janitor like came to his defense or something.
Because they were part of the same clown posse.
They're just being silly.
Same clown crew.
Anyway, no, so this is real.
No, but they have like a, so there's a really interesting photographer. Her name is Stacey Kranitz, and I don't know if she does it anymore, but she used to do kind of like gonzo portraiture and photography. And what she would do is she would go every year to the festival and she would make a new family, because that's how they view each other, family. Mm-hmm. And then she would go and live with them for a year.
And just photograph
and like
day to day.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like, it's really interesting. It's like,
it's quite moving.
Beautiful work. It's beautiful work. And it's interesting because the people that like come around this festival truly are people that don't feel like they have a place in the world. It's a lot of like disenfranchised, you know, people who maybe look weird or were born with a deformity or like,
I just feel like social outcasts
or in any way.
Yeah.
So if you're single, go to the Juggalo Festival.
You'll find my family.
No, but I mean, I don't know, because like, I mean, they swim in like mud pits and like spray paint themselves. Mm-hmm. And there's this soda. It's not Fanta, but it's like this one soda that they love, and like when they get really excited, they go woo woo, and they spray like this purple soda on each other, and like, I don't know, I kind of want to see that.
Okay,
like,
all right.
I was thinking I would like to. I would be curious to go to the Watch Festival in Switzerland.
I'm better than us.
Clearly you're better than us.
No, not at all. I need to get cultured.
Oh, and the Juggalo Festival is where you'll find that.
I think I feel quite comfortable in TFAF and with the Watch Festival in Switzerland.
No, I mean, I don't know. I'm interested in all kinds of people.
Me too. And I think that's the best bit about like being part of society.
Just,
like,
I have, okay, but I will say I have no desire to go to Burning Man.
No, I used to.
You did.
Wait, you used to like to, or you used to go?
I remember, so I'm now 34, but I remember for my 30th birthday, I really wanted to go and I couldn't because it was COVID.
Mm.
Whoa,
that's crazy. That was 4 years ago.
I know.
What?
Okay, like, so you didn't go.
Lockdown.
But did you go?
No.
You never
No, did and
go.
I never, now it's too mainstream. Yeah. I had the desire to go like longer ago.
Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't go.
It was all over Instagram.
Shoot me in the head before I would ever go to Coachella. Never want to go to Coachella.
Never.
Actually,
even
this,
if you were like a paid brand partner,
it'd have to be paid a lot of money.
See, like Taylor Swift.
No.
She doesn't do Coachella.
No, but, listen. You know, this is it would have to be like, you know, like how Rihanna performed for the Ambanis. Mm-hmm. It would be like, you chopper me in. I'm there for the 90 second reels that you want me to make. And then you chopper me out. Like, that's it. Do not.
Brands, did you hear that? She's ready, willing, and able.
Not a diva.
Hit me
She's
up
as humble as Scarlett.
I said I would go to the Juggalo Festival.
I'm going to get like Juggalo sponsorship.
Literally.
Oh my God, you found your tribe.
We found our niche. We found our niche.
Nobody wants me in the art world. I'm going to go join Juggalo.
Go to back to your real family.
Okay, apparently I had no friends at this table.
Actually this year, it's just super exciting. I'm working with a very exciting artist called Jordan Watt. Cool. The brains behind Love Watts.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instagram platforms and YouTube, and he's built this community.
Cool.
Within the art world, not the Juggalo world, but, you know, cross-pollination.
Equally
as cool. And for it's going to be announced soon, but announcing here first is that we are going to be curating. Jordan's been selected by Emily Evis, who owns Glastonbury Festival, to curate
a series of art. Is that the Shakespeare stuff? Is that Glastonbury? Sorry, I don't know.
Glastonbury is the Coachella of United Kingdom.
So the Shakespeare
or Shakespeare.
Jane Austen conference, I would love to go to.
Well, yes, yeah.
We need that. Yeah, and Tark for sure. Just like a whole conference on Mr. Darcy. Yeah. A bunch of women tightly crossed legs. Because it's like,
the corsets.
Stop that. No, I just saw way too much.
Okay. Edit.
Matt, control your limit.
Okay, so that's cool. Say more about the Shakespeare guys.
Yes, no, tell us about your curation. That's very
Glastonbury,
exciting.
Glastonbury. So it's Glastonbury's like the iconic festival from the 60s in Somerset. Never been. My festival days, I retired when I think I was 17. So I haven't been to Glastonbury, and again, I would go chop it and chop it out.
Obviously.
But last year, Guns N' Roses headline. No, it's like they have the big people. I mean, I don't know who's playing this year, but
Axl Rose. When we were at that restaurant in St. Bart's, whose wife did we meet?
Nikki Six from Motley
Crue. We met Motley Crue. We were in the most beautiful restaurant, and it was like in a fairy garden outside, and we were waiting to use the restroom, and she had this cute little girl. And Matt is like children love Matt, and Matt's like chatting with her, and I'm looking at her. I'm like, this beautiful woman better not try to entice my husband away, you know? Like,
I will fight you.
Yeah, no, she's hot. You can Google her, but super nice. And we start talking about everything, and she was like, "Well, do you ever make it out to Wyoming?" We're like, "No, like not
never once."
No,
Midwest.
Yeah.
It's like a very big state. A lot of like ranches out there.
Beautiful.
Rancher. Yeah, it's like Montana.
Yellowstone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so she's like, oh, but when you come, just look us up. We're the Sixes. We're easy to find. And I was like, oh, okay. Had no idea who she was.
Did you then Google her?
And then, no, but then we see like, guys who are like in 80s like cock rock bands still look like they're in 80s cock rock bands.
Recognizable.
Like I don't know him, but he had like the bandana and the glasses and like the shirt unbuttoned to here with a leather jacket. We're like in St. Bart's. Like
tattoos?
Like my friend put a little linen on or something, you know?
Chic.
Yeah. And she's just gorgeous, like with her perfect little ballerina baby girl coming out. And I'm like, that looks like someone. And Matt's sister and her boyfriend know a lot about music. And we're like, Six. Like, what is
that?
They're like, yeah. Oh, Nikki Six. And we Google it, and we're like, oh, yeah, Nikki Six.
Cool. So we're the Sixes. Like, that's such a cool surname.
I know. What a cool thing to, like, drop. Oh, we're the Sixes.
Google me, and you'll find me in Wyoming.
You'll just find us. We're like, sure, next time we're in Wyoming.
That's a chopper in, chopper out situation.
Okay, so anyways, Glastonbury.
Yes, go. Tell us.
Who's playing this year? Do you know who's headlining?
No.
Love Watts, obviously.
So they're doing this whole thing in the art world now. So they want to involve artists. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be to do with Jordan.
Cool.
And yeah, it's going to be amazing.
So
1-800 Jerry Gagosian.
Yeah. And Jerry Gagosian, 100%.
I want to be, you know what I really want to do? Like, I think that you may be old enough to remember this. There used to be like MTV.
Cribs.
No. This is earlier. Cindy Crawford and like all these like supermodels would be like, hi, MTV. Like, and they'd be like rollerblading, like with like a microphone. And they're like, I'm on my way to talk to two people who just had sex.
Oh my God.
And it would be like cut to like two like hot 20-something-year-olds. And like, we orgasmed at the same time. It was incredible. You know, like that kind of thing. Like, can we do the Jerry Gagosian Glastonbury
version
Cindy
of that?
Crawford?
Yeah, in our rotobase. That definitely didn't make it to Ireland MTV back in the day.
Well, it would be against both of the religions that dominate your country.
But that's
I think it was called the House of MTV or the House of Style or something
like
that.
That's well before my time.
Shut up.
I know.
She's very young. It's annoying.
BA, before Annie's time.
Okay, so in this festival, it's music. But what you're doing is like enmeshing artists with music.
Well, it's all going to be announced. Okay. I don't know too much about the project, but
don't reveal too much before it's time.
No, I'm doing a big dinner when I get back to London for the owner of Glassaway, and that'll be really fun and a lot of the music people in
the reason floor. I'm asking, because I mean, look, like Art Basel in Miami, like crazy phenomena. Like, you know, Basel Plus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Love.
No, Plus. I was Plus, taught yesterday. Plus, it's actually
Perry Plus.
I was shamed by the lovely director Eloise from Mitterrand.
Plus, whatever. I mean, it is encroaching on like the consciousness of the average consumer, right? Mm. Do you think that fine artists, are going to be able to become real stars like singers or athletes?
Yeah,
or, like a Taylor Swift of the art world or something.
David Hurst is already there and Jeff Koons, he's already certainly there.
But then Jeff Koons is now like kind of hated because like I guess the market's not there anymore. I think when the market's rising, this is the awful thing about the art world market is like when the market's rising, everybody's darling. And And then when it crashes and your prices are like 75% lower than what some people pay, then you really hate it.
Yeah.
And again, you are literally just a person. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I think only time will tell.
Time will tell.
Who have reached that start?
100%.
For like the lay person, you know.
Who could fill like a 100,000 person stadium or something?
I mean, I think if Jeff Koons was like, I'm going to recreate, I don't know, a balloon animal or something, or Cause was like, I'm going to spray paint one of my hideous Elmos.
Or I'm sure Banksy's like, I'm going to reveal myself.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That would be a good
really
one.
Good.
That would draw the... That might draw the Taylor Swift phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I would go. Mm-hmm.
It's like a cultural moment. I think this is the exciting time that we're in. It's like, I'm working with this artist, Jordan Watts, who is like, he's built this cultural platform of millions of followers, and he never revealed himself as an artist because he did it for everybody else. I think this is like a visionary time.
Yeah.
And it's, again, the community aspect that we were talking about earlier. It brings together the clown people. What are they called? The juggernauts?
The juggalos.
The juggalos.
You laugh.
Yeah.
But no, but it's all the same essence, right?
But these are real people.
They speak my language.
Yeah.
We speak art language. Like, we're so lucky, you know, we're very educated and, you know, we get to be surrounded by beautiful things and see beautiful things. And I think that's the thing is, like, the more that we see and the more that we cultivate our eye and expand our minds is, like, we can relate to more of it. Mm-hmm. And the visionariness and artists today, Jordan, I would say, he is doing something visionary and his paintings are really good. I will be doing an exhibition.
Yeah.
Amazing. With Super Blue in Miami.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Super Blue was still happening.
Oh, Super Blue is amazing. Experience.
I've done it before. But every time I've gone twice. I went for their opening.
Yeah.
And then I went during an Art Basel thing. But then I was in Miami a couple more times afterwards, and it was like always closed. And I was like,
COVID?
Is it still? No. Oh. I was like, is this like still like a thing? I was like, Is this like not working out or like what's going
on? Oh, no, it's very much working out. And there's big expansion plans with the business.
Okay,
and I think
great.
This is the thing. It's like, again, looking at the different audiences of art and the next generation and who were, you know, I'm 34. I'm not as young as I was in my 20s. Like my friends are now that bit older and they're moving on to more advanced art and more vying cultures. And, you know, they're elevating up.
Mm-hmm.
So we always need to be looking down and seeing how they're consuming art. A lot of them are consuming on their phones, you know? And I think it's, again, about education. And that's where the experiential art thing comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the democratization of Super Blue and how it's accessible to anybody and anyone. And it's an experience. And right now they have the JR photo booth. It's so cute. So you go and go on a date with Matt. Go in and get your photo taken, and then it falls down from the sky, and then you can take it home.
It's really fun.
Yeah. Or you can post it on the wall.
Okay.
I think it's worth a little romantic date.
Yeah. I'm trying to think how I guess it doesn't really matter how I feel about Super Blue.
And next time, call me and I'll book you a VIP tour and make sure it's open.
No, I mean, I think that the two hot terms are world building and experiences. But the thing that is interesting about it is there's something, this might just be being a grumpy art person, but there's something so narcissistic about creating a space that, whether they want to admit it or not, is just like highly Instagrammable. And it's highly, and that is the attraction for most people. Like most people want to go into a James Turrell or want to go into a...
Well, you want to experience it on your own.
Yeah.
But I would argue that for freaking art fairs as well, because at the end of the day, even Venice Biennale this year, it was just full of Instagrammers and Instagramming the hot thing for the content and like... And I feel like with the Instagram and today and like seeing the way we see things and the way we consume things, I feel like I've seen 100 things before I've even seen them in real life, which is really sad. It takes away that mystery about it. Like, don't you love what Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen did with their fashion show this year?
Row, where they didn't
and they banned
influencers. They wouldn't like, let anybody see it before the runway. Yeah, that was
And really do you know why they did that? It's because their stuff gets copied so quickly out the gate.
Yeah.
So they're doing that to like pull back and to have a bit more mystery.
Really,
I think I love a bit of mystery around stuff. I love being surprised.
Yes.
Good and bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just tough. It's a whole new world out there. I still feel like young at heart, and then sometimes sometimes I feel really old. I used to have a very interesting teacher at San Francisco Art Institute who also did neuro research at Stanford. And they were doing a project where they were putting toddlers in CAT scans to like monitor or like to watch the brain develop.
Love.
And it was like from like age 6 months to like, I think the project ended around age 4 or something. So like, I guess that's, or maybe 5, because that's like when like the vast majority of your brain sort of
forms.
Yeah. So the control were children who were not allowed to have screens.
Okay.
Zero screen time. And then the ones that they were watching to monitor versus the control, they noticed in this particular study that the kids that were allowed to interact with screens were, their amygdalas were either not developing or developing a lot slower. And you can look up all the amazing things the amygdala does for a person, but basically it helps you be social, have manners, have self-control, help you have all these things. And these kids were like, essentially, like their brains were not developing because they were getting so used to instant satisfaction and gratification through the screen.
Yeah.
So then when I put myself, like that was over 10 years ago, those kids are now about to be adults.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to think about this next generation of young adults that are coming in, and how, first of all, how do we convince them to fall in love with fine art? Just like creativity, which is like another part of our conversation earlier. Like, how do you convince them to like fall in love with something when like the slow medium of like painting or the slow medium of sculpture or installation art, something that could give you very little, or maybe you may not understand for 10 years until you've lived. And then all of a sudden, how do we get those people to care?
I think that the reality of the people who love art is a very small pool of people anyway, in the grand scheme of the population of the planet.
And I also just think it's up to the educators, to the people now who love art, to teach that to the people
to give it on
to their kids, you know? And I trust that some of them will find it on their own still.
I think you got to trust that they'll find it on their own. We have to make it compelling enough.
Yeah.
And I think it's enough. And engaging.
Part of an experience. That's why art fairs are great, because it is an experience.
It's an experience. Bring your children. Mm-hmm. I think it's the exposure. Like, I was exposed to art at a very young age. Mm-hmm. I was really fortunate. Yeah.
Like, take your kids.
Some of my brothers, don't like art. Actually, that's not true. When I bring one of them to the museum, they love it. But they're not like,
they're not as impassioned
as I am. And it's not their profession. My business partner, Erica, who we have an advisory business together called Samuels Creative in New York, she wants to go and like be a teacher later in life and educate again and like bring back the meaning at exactly what we say. Yeah. It's like, how do we keep it current and give back and give back to the art economy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, final question for the podcast. Mm-hmm. What's the hook for you in art? Like, what keeps you coming back time and time again? Mm-hmm. Like, why is it the reason that you get up in the morning? Why do you care so much?
I absolutely love what I do, and I feel really fortunate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got incredible friends in the industry that I'm in. And I think that's like obviously a really great thing, because we have this, you know, we all travel so much. Yeah. So it's fun. Like, we can go off to Basel in a couple of weeks and we'll be together.
Yes. And the new addition to our group.
And, you know, it's really fun that you like bump into everyone, you see everybody, and, you know, stuff happens. It's like,
what about the art? Like, what
The art. I love art. I've lived and breathed art.
What is it?
You know, it's an exciting journey. I don't think there's one particular destination with it. I think it's when I collect for myself, I buy it because I love it.
Yeah, the feeling.
And I want to. Yeah, also I want to feel like the people that are trusting me with my advice to buy stuff, I also have skin in the game. You know, I'm believing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The artists that I've worked with over the past 10 years have been absolutely fundamental to my experience and my education in the art world. And I feel so blessed and lucky to have worked with like really people of our generation artists and very fortunate that I count them as friends and seeing their stars rise. I think that's like the most rewarding thing is when you, exactly as we said about like Alfie, like seeing the good people like rising.
Win and top and win and succeed.
Yeah, and winning and succeeding. And, you know, seeing them included in museum shows. Yeah. I mean, that's the goal, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the longevity. It's like, you know, Erica, who I work with, and she's a couple years older than me, and she's had her business since 2007. And she's always like, you know, where is this in art history? So I'm always, we're constantly in dialogue together. Like, where will this artist be in art history? Mm-hmm. I think that's the exciting thing. It's like, you know, we can't predict the future, but we have good eyes. We're cultivated.
We are.
And we can see, I think, you know, quality always speaks. And that's why I get upset when it's like trendy art trends. And, you know, you got to always buy quality.
Yeah, buy what you love.
Buy what you love and what you feel intuitively passionate about. Yeah. And I always say to collectors, when you start collecting, don't buy anything in the first year.
Yeah,
that's go and see everything.
Go see everything.
Yeah. Go and see as much as you can.
Yeah. Before you start deciding what you like.
Yeah. Because, you know, I would love to do a show one day, curate a show of the mistakes of collectors. It's in storage.
That's hysterical. Yes. The forgottens.
Yeah. The ones that they wish they didn't buy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what? There would be a lot of those from the pandemic era that would go in.
The JPEGers.
PDF buys the JPEGers. That's great.
Oh, my God. I have talked to some very cutthroat collectors in the last few months who are like, I don't give a shit what you do with it. Burn it. Throw it away. Get it. Get it away from me.
Get it away.
I cannot believe I bought that. I was so bored in the pandemic. It looked one way on
bored
a PDF.
Or drunk.
It looked one way on a PDF and a JPEG, and some overly enthusiastic senior director sold me on it. It showed up at my house 4 months later, unrecognizable, and I absolutely hate it.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a whole pandemic, like, section yeah. of our lives, mm-hmm. because firstly, the artists that were making the art and during the time, I mean, fascinating, yeah. because we were all, like, locked in a room. You know, a lot of people got divorced during that time, so yeah. they actually realized they hated the people that they were
living with. You can't escape.
So it's kind of like going to be like this amazing chapter that we can look back on.
Yeah. You, Annie, the hook.
For me, it's the feeling. It's like the gut feeling that I get. Like we were walking around TAFAP saying like, which work makes you feel something? Like which draws you in from across the island?
We were like, beeline. We were like, feel. Like,
yeah, feel literally.
We were like, this. Do I feel something? Do I feel something?
And like the paintings that you purchase or the paintings that I collect, you know, like, they see you fight. They see you love. They see you eat. They see you live. And it's so nice to, like, have a dialogue with them. I don't know. And, like,
agreed.
I just bought an amazing piece from this Brazilian artist, Stephanie Lucchese.
It's really amazing.
And I was texting with her after I got it. And it was getting stretched in my house. And I was so happy. And I was like, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Like, I gossip with all of my paintings. Like, I tell them all of my secrets. And they tell me things back.
I love that.
We were just laughing about that. But it's so true. Like, I'm in constant dialogue with the pieces.
I know painters who talk to their paintings mm-hmm. while they're making them, which is very funny.
Yeah.
The secret.
The pain. I won't say who she is because she got a little embarrassed once when I told somebody that she does this. She was like, don't tell people I do this. So I'm not naming any names, but like I used to stay at her house a lot when I lived on the West Coast. And I would, because her studio was on the floor above where my bedroom was when I would sleep over. And I would wake up in the morning to like full-blown arguments. Like I was like, what is going on? And she was like, no. I do not think so. I don't think so. Like having an argument. And then I would like come up like, is she like talking to her dealer? Like what's going on? And she's like painting the wing of an angel and like having like a full argument. So I would say for me. I think that art is an alchemical, invisible machine that is able to transport us in and out of different dimensions mm-hmm. of reality mm-hmm. and emotion. And it can give you hope. It can break your heart. Mm-hmm. It can scare you. Mm-hmm. It can make you laugh. Mm-hmm. It can take you to a place in time when you weren't alive yet. It can show you the future. It has all of these incredible alchemical qualities that I think music is like this as well, but there's not a lot of other things that exist on this earth that are able to do what art does.
No, it's such a privilege to live with art. Yeah.
Like, we're so lucky.
And that's why, yes, okay, I know a lot of people will be buying, obviously, for an investment for the future as well. But also, it's like, living with good art, you could never not now live with good art. Like, I couldn't, you know.
I couldn't get rid of the pieces I have. Now, I can go back to having only posters.
Posters and, like,
in college, like,
photographs.
Yeah.
It's the most life-enhancing thing. Mm-hmm. And that's, I get it. It's aspirational, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, with that, I think we're going to wrap up the episode.
Thanks for tuning in. TAFAP, we love you.
Yeah, we had a great time. And thank you so much to our producer, Joe Tisdall, for mixing and editing. And thank you, Tarkus, so much for coming on and sharing your wonderful eye. I know it was a real trek for you to make it.
Horrible time on the train.
Yeah. Sitting next to some loser. I don't know who was sitting next to you talking your ear off.
You're welcome back anytime. We love you.
I love it here. She's converted me.
Yes. Converted. To Connecticut.
And if we don't see you soon, we'll see you in Zurich, baby.
We'll see you at the Park High at Zurich.
Yeah.
Park Hyatt, do you want to sponsor us?
And we'll see you on the internet.
See you on the internet.
Bye.